in me.
Got so used to teaching Bible class and doing the sermon, and I always had the mic with me when I was teaching Bible class and then doing the sermon, and I realized this morning, I said, wait a minute, I don't have a mic today, and I almost had to send out the search team because it wasn't where I thought it was going to be, but such is the life of a preacher. We're going to talk about rethinking our relationship with the world here this morning. We've already talked about how, you know, just so much of being a disciple is wrapped up in how we as disciples, how we as Christians treat other people. And we talked about, you know, how we treat our brethren. You know, that matters. Reconciliation is the name of the game when we're talking about our brethren. You know, if you've done something wrong, if you've wronged your brother, fix it. You know, go above and beyond, not just like, well, you just need to get over that. No, go fix it. Do what you can to fix it. If you've been wrong, maybe you're on the other side of that coin. If you've been wrong, forgive. Go above and beyond to forgive. Not just, you know, I forgive, but I'm gonna keep my eye on you. Not, yeah, I forgive, but after you jump through all of these hoops. No, we're talking about true and full forgiveness. We talked about how we treat our enemies. We're supposed to love them, do good to them, bless them, pray for them. And so hopefully we've been working on all these things. But I want to ask you a question as we get into this topic. How should we treat the world? And let's define the world as just simply non-Christian. So we're not thinking on a big scale of like just all of humanity, but the people who make up the world. How do we treat people who don't believe in Jesus? How do we treat people who don't pattern their lives as if they believe in Jesus? They don't live the way that Jesus says that they need to. How should we treat those people? How should we treat the world? And what's your answer to this? What kinds of things run through your mind when you hear this question? You know, when you interact with the world, what kinds of things factor into your answer to this question? Now, I'm going to leave it up here. I'm just going to let it sit here for a little bit. There's going to be two slides that are just going to sit here, because I think this topic this morning, it's one of these things that we really need to meditate on. We really need to think about how we process this. How should we treat the world? This question was actually raised to me by one of the members here, and I thought, you know what? Based on everything we've been talking about, that is a really, really good question, because I don't know if you've realized it, but maybe you haven't even thought about it. You interact with the world a lot. You know, really, are your interactions with the world, that might be the interactions that you have the most. You're definitely interacting with people in the world more than you interact with your brethren. You know, most of us, we see each other once, twice, maybe more than that if we're lucky. Sometimes it's even less than that. So we interact with the world more than with our brethren. For those of us who are married, maybe you interact with your spouse more than the world, but I think it might actually be pretty close, because just think about it. You know, we all have jobs. We have hobbies that involve interacting with the world. We have friends and family members who may be in the world. We go to the store. We go out in public. We post on social media. So all of the time, we are interacting with the world. How do we treat them? You know, if being a disciple hinges on your interactions with other people, and we interact with the world a lot, well, then of course this is something that we need to be thinking about. Now, I'm afraid that, you know, we don't think enough about what Jesus' expectations are of us in regards to how we deal with the world. Maybe it's because we interact with the world so much and we kind of get desensitized to it a little bit. Maybe it's because we deal with such a wide spectrum of people in the world. You know, whatever it is, sometimes I think we excuse ourselves from our rightful behavior towards the world. You know, just think of some of the thoughts that popped into your mind when this question came up? I know me personally, when I think of, you know, how should I treat the world, my mind goes to, well, who are we talking about? What are they doing? This person in the world, how are they acting? Are we talking about somebody who's mean and nasty? Are we talking about somebody's, maybe it's somebody's grandma, she's actually kind of nice, so we like her? Is this person opposed to the gospel? Is this person actively teaching false things? You know, I think about all of those things and I factor all of it in. I'm like, okay, well, if they're doing this, then this is how I should treat them. If they're doing that, then that's how I'm supposed to treat the world. But Jesus says something in the Sermon on the Mount that I think it really does kind of answer this question once and for all. Regardless of how they're acting, regardless of what someone in the world might be doing, Jesus has an answer for this question. And I don't think you guys understand the joy that comes to a preacher when he realizes that Jesus actually answered this question already. It really takes the heat off of me. You know, I don't have to worry about you guys getting mad about what I'm going to say, because I'm like, okay, you can take that up with the king if you have any problems. Because Jesus has an answer for this question of how should we treat the world. It's here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus says, "In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets." So how do we treat the world? Think about your answer to that question. You know, just think about how you arrived at that conclusion. Maybe you're like me and you're thinking, well, if they're doing this, then I'm going to do that. And if they're doing that, then I need to respond like this. How does Jesus answer this question? How should we treat the world? He says, in everything. That means when people are doing right. It means when people are doing wrong. It means when you're mad. It means when they're mad. It means when they're your brother in Christ. It means when they're in the world. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. We treat the world the way that we want to be treated. Now, there's a book that I heard referenced a little while ago. It's called All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And the author, he lists all these different things that he learned just like early on in life, things that he uses now just like every day that allow him to be successful. And it's like small stuff like clean up after yourself or stick with the group. I think one of them was hold hands when you walk across the street. And so some of those things, I was like, okay, this would actually make a good sermon. But one of the things that he mentioned, it was the golden rule. These are things that he needed to be successful as an adult, and for us, successful as a disciple. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Didn't you learn that early on? You know, he said he learned that in kindergarten. I feel like I knew that before kindergarten. I don't think that means I was like advanced or anything like that. I think we learned that really, really early on. You've probably known that this was the case for a very long time. Even people in the world recognize that this is a really good principle to live by. You know, some schools, this is their slogan. Treat others the way that you want to be treated. Businesses will use this slogan, like they'll use it to maybe try to get you to believe that they're going to do that and maybe that they're actually going to take care of you. But you know, it's the golden rule. Everybody knows about it. And so you've known that living by the golden rule was a good thing for a long, long time, but unfortunately it doesn't always sink in, does it? You know, even though we know that we are supposed to do this, sometimes it hasn't really penetrated our hearts. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this up here on the board for most of the rest of the lesson, because surely 25 extra minutes of thinking about it will nip this in the bud once and for all. But when we wonder how we should treat or how we should respond to someone in the world, the answer is always however we want them to treat or to respond to us. And so my question is, why is it so hard for us to do this? You know, what keeps us from practicing this rule in our day-to-day lives? Obviously, it's not because we didn't know about it. It's not because Jesus didn't say anything about it. And I think we struggle with this rule just kind of across the board, but maybe even especially when it comes to the world. You know, we interact with the world so much, and a lot of the time, like, this principle And honestly, it doesn't even come into our mind. My question is, why is that? I have a few answers to that. Number one, you know, we really aren't really used to practicing this rule. That's not to say that we're just going around doing whatever it is that we want to do, but a lot of times we adjust this rule ever so slightly, so we kind of miss the point. You know, I think we're all accustomed to practicing this rule in the negative. We are used to making sure that we don't do things that we don't want other people to do to us. So we've turned this into this. And there's a huge difference there between what we have up on the screen right now and what Jesus actually said to do. But this is what we're really used to living by. Even when I was thinking of some examples that I might use this morning, I noticed they were all in the negative, i.e., I shouldn't be rude to someone because I don't want them to be rude to me. I shouldn't steal from someone because I wouldn't want them to steal from me. And I think there's an aspect of that in what Jesus is asking for here. Like, you can't possibly do what Jesus is asking for if you don't accomplish the negative. But I want you to think about what Jesus actually said to do. He said to do to others what you would have them do to you. That's a positive thing. That's an action thing. That's more than just sitting back and not doing things. That's actively seeking to do something for someone else. And that's what makes what Jesus says here so powerful. In fact, there's a lot of people, a lot of very, very wise people over the generations that they've said things like this. Confucius, he said, "What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others." One guy whose name I couldn't pronounce, he said, "Do not do unto others what you would not want done to you." And if you do your research on this idea, you'll see that many, many philosophers over the years, they've said things like this. But that's what Jesus said to do. He said, do to others, treat others the way that you want to be treated. And so I think one of the reasons why it's so hard for us sometimes to treat people in the world like this, to treat them properly when we're actually confronted with them, when we're actually forced to interact with them, it's because we're not really used to practicing this. When we get into a tough situation and it's actually time to do something for someone in the world, sometimes it's a little bit unnerving to us. You know, when your coworker gets on, when you get on their bad side and they're not speaking to you, you know, don't you feel like they're supposed to come and speak to you now? Well, if we're living by the golden rule and you want them to speak to you, you're supposed to do something in a positive. You're supposed to go speak to them. And even I feel the tension with stuff like this. You know, there's always this little Cody that's in the back of my mind saying, no, that's the other person's fault. They're supposed to bridge the gap. They're supposed to handle this. They're the ones that are actively avoiding speaking to me. They're supposed to bridge the gap. But again, if we're doing what Jesus said, we're supposed to do for them what we want them to do for us. And so when I engage with the world, there are things that I need to do for them simply because that's what I wish that they would do for me. You know, it's more than just making sure that I'm not an awful person to them. You know, when we get to the application portion, we need to keep that in mind. When we are practicing the golden rule, when we are practicing it properly with the world, it involves doing things for them. And so this may not be something that we're comfortable with. This may not be something that we're used to, but this is the golden rule. Jesus says we treat people the way that we want to be treated. Another thing is we're used to attempting this with people that are already doing this for us. Have you ever sat back and thought about that? Like, let's take it out of the context of the world for a moment. Let's just think about the golden rule in general. Who are you most inclined to live by the golden rule with? Who are you most inclined to treat the way that you want to be treated? Well, normally it's the people that are already doing that for you, or at least the people that you would expect to do it for you. When someone is nice to you, you feel the urge to then be nice to them. When someone is typically blessing you, you feel the urge to bless them. And so oftentimes we're used to this, like, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back kind of living. And when we live that way, when we when we think of the golden rule in that context, we relieve the golden rule of its reconciliation power. Really, we've turned this, in some cases, to this. You know, think about it with your spouses. Like, spouses, when you have it in your mind that maybe your counterpart isn't treating you well, how often does it even come across your mind that you need to be treating them the way that they're treating you? You know, we've turned treat others the way that we want to be treated into do it when they're already doing it for you. That's not what Jesus said. You see, when we live this way, things really don't work out. And sure, you've probably seen it in a marriage. You've probably seen it in another close relationship. You can see the bitterness that comes when people are just waiting around to practice the golden rule. But think about it. Think about what happens when disciples live like this in relation to the world. You know, we know that they probably aren't living by the golden rule. You know, they don't know Christ. They don't have a reason to live that way. So what happens when someone in the world comes at you improperly? You know, now they're not treating you the way that you want to be, that they want you to treat them. And so now, based on this, you're free to treat them however you want. But do things get better that way? Do relationships heal that way? Are people led to Christ when disciples live by this rule rather than the golden rule? Or does living this way lead to bitterness and issues between people? And again, we've seen it. We've seen the battle and the beef until there's nothing left of the relationship. This shouldn't be us. In fact, when you live by this rule instead of the golden rule, you've actually missed an opportunity to let your light shine. We talked about this when we were dealing with our enemies. When you treat people the way that you want to be treated, regardless of how they're treating you, you have given them an opportunity to know and to appreciate and to glorify God. You can't do that if you're waiting around for them to treat you properly. And so we need to make sure we get back to this. We treat people the way that we want to be treated. And I understand that sometimes people in the world are going to do things. Sometimes they're going to say things that are going to make it obvious that they are not living by this principle. They don't have your best interest at heart. They're not treating you the way that they want to be treated. But based on this, are they excluded from what Jesus says? You know, we treat people the way that we want to be treated. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter what they're saying. And sure, when you behave like this, some people in the world are going to take advantage of that. Some people aren't going to reciprocate it. Sometimes you're going to feel like a doormat. I think I'd rather be a doormat that's on his way to heaven than the alternative, right? Let's just start with this. We treat people the way that we want to be treated, regardless of how they're treating us. But lastly, you know, we aren't used to living by this. We aren't used to really living by the golden rule when it's really, really difficult, when things get hard. And I know this one hits home for me because I'm a path of least resistance kind of guy. I like for things to be easy. I like the simple answer. For example, Macy and I, we went to an escape room this past Friday with some of the brethren here. And I told them, you're going to make it into the sermon, right? Like, you can't hang out with the preacher over the weekend and not expect to be in the sermon. But an escape room, that's one of those places where you go in and they lock you in and they got all these different things. You're supposed to find clues and figure your way out of it. I thought it was pretty fun, and I suggested to Carl, I said, we need to have a preachers and elders version of this. So guys, get ready for that. But yeah, this is my first time going, and I realized early on that, frankly, some of the other people, they knew what they were doing way better than I did. And so I said, you know what, let me get over here. Let me get out of their way because they seem to have things locked down. You know, I'm going to figure out what's going on with this chessboard over here. And maybe by the time I figure that out, they'll have figured that out over there. You know, I didn't want to get in the way. Again, you know, path of least resistance. I like for things to be easy, especially when things really matter, especially when it's spiritual things. I like it to be straightforward. Let's figure out what we need to do and we can do what we need to do. Sometimes when it comes to this, Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's going to cost us a lot. Sometimes it's going to take a lot of thinking or a lot of patience. Sometimes it's hard to even figure out what on earth you're supposed to do to still actually apply this rule. I'm sure you've all been in a scenario like this where you're wondering, like, man, how can I actually treat them the way that I want to be treated in this situation? Sometimes it even seems like it's going to contradict some other things that we're supposed to be doing. You know, maybe they said something wrong or they said something that's ungodly. So you feel this urge in you to set them straight. Maybe even in a good way. You know that there's other ramifications or consequences based on what you're going to say. And so you're thinking, man, it's going to be hard for me to still treat them the way that I want to be treated. You know, sometimes we get in those situations. But unfortunately, when things get hard, I think we have the tendency to throw this rule out. You know, when someone jumps on Facebook and says something wrong, maybe someone blasts the church online and they just say something that's just completely out of line. Sometimes it's hard to figure out how to respond to that person and obey this principle right here. And so in those situations, we decide, okay, well, we'll just blast them. And then we'll figure out everything else later. So oftentimes we've turned that into this. We've turned it into we treat people the way that we want to be treated when it's easy. Have you ever felt like it was hard to know what exactly to do in one of those situations? Maybe for you it is the Facebook thing. You've seen this guy, he's posting the same nonsense over and over again. You figure out, you know what, I'm going to say something this time, but figuring out what the right thing to say and how to say it to still be in line with the golden rule, maybe that's hard. And so you just blast it. Think about all of the negative things that come from that. How does that usually pan out when we just blast someone instead of thinking about the golden rule? No, we treat others the way that we want to be treated, even when it's hard, maybe even especially when it's difficult. As a citizen of the kingdom, you have a responsibility to do this even when it's difficult. When we're dealing with people in the world, they are going to do things. They are going to say things that are not in line with God's word. That's kind of just how it goes. And sometimes you need to correct. But there's a godly way to go about that. There is a way to correct and still be in line with Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. You know, just think about it. When you're wrong about something, how do you like for people to come to you? There is a correct way to bring light to something and still be in harmony with this principle here. You know, Jesus isn't saying, and I'm certainly not implying, that because of this rule that we shouldn't correct or we shouldn't rebuke or we shouldn't even, chasten someone sometimes. But this rule right here, this has to be the foundation for all of our interactions with the world, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, a coworker, an enemy, someone who is rebelling against God or anyone, because we treat others the way that we want to be treated. So how are we feeling about this? We feeling good? We feeling like, man, that's actually kind of hard, And I see some people shrugging. And again, this is stuff that we learned in kindergarten. But when we actually apply this rule to all of our relationships, it gives the power to change lives. And so let's just go through some quick applications, because as I was preparing this lesson, as I really thought about applying this principle to every single time I interact with the world, I came away with the conclusion that this really is the way to go. So when we are living by the golden rule, and when we are treating others the way that we want to be treated, I think that automatically comes with certain traits. Because when you're dealing with someone, there are certain traits, certain characteristics that you want them to have in relation to you. Correct? And so that means that we need to display those towards them as well. I'll give you a couple examples of what I'm talking about. How about kindness? Do you want people to be kind to you? Of course you do. I even see some people shaking their heads. They're like, yeah, of course. Everyone wants people to be kind to them. So be kind to the world. You ever had a conversation with someone where they weren't being kind? You don't like that. So yeah, of course, don't do that, but you like when people are kind and nice and pleasant with you. Have you ever been having a bad day and then you interacted with someone who was kind? It's like it rejuvenates you. It gives you an energy boost. Do that for others this week. Well, what if they're not being kind to me? Well, okay, sure. Well, how would you want to be treated if you weren't being kind to someone else? In fact, how do you want to be treated when you aren't being kind to someone else? Because guess what? We're not always kind. We don't always do the right thing. You want people to still be kind to you even when you're not kind. So be kind to those people as well. And so next time, you know, you're going to interact with someone in the world, if you want them to be kind to you, don't you think you should be kind to them? Even with the person that isn't doing it for you. Even with the mean lady at the DMV. Even with the person who lives that lifestyle that isn't in harmony with the gospel. We treat others the way that we want to be treated. Another trait is patience. We want people to be patient with us, right? Because we all make mistakes. We can all be stubborn sometimes. But you want people to be patient with you. So be patient with the world as well. Be patient with the guy who can't find his wallet at the checkout. Be patient with the neighbor who can't seem to get his yard cleaned up. We treat people the way that we want to be treated. Or how about grace? Don't we want people to be gracious towards us? Do we want people in the world to give us the benefit of the doubt? Do we want people in the world to perceive the things that we say in the best possible light? Of course you do. So do that for the world as well. You know, when your boss does something that seems like it was meant to slight you, show some grace. Because again, that's what you want. We treat others the way that we want to be treated. And so that's going to come in a lot of traits, but it's also going to come in some actions as well. There are things that we need to do for people because we expect those things in return as well. Again, I'll just list a couple and surely you'll be able to fill in the gaps. How about gossip? You know, we don't like when people in the world gossip about us, correct? In fact, when we even suspect that there is a person who might be a gossip, we go above and beyond to make sure that we don't tell them anything that we don't want all over the front page news. So sure, fulfill, you know, the negative. Don't gossip about them. But tell me, if you knew that someone else knew that you were being gossiped about, wouldn't you want them tell those other guys to knock it off? Wouldn't you want them to say, hey, look, we shouldn't be talking about Sean behind his back? Wouldn't you want that? So next time you're in the break room and you hear someone gossiping about someone else, if you're living by this, what do you need to do? You know, we treat others the way that we want to be treated. And I can go on and on with example after example, but I want us to think about this as we close out the lesson this morning. You know, what happens when we don't live by this rule in some of our other relationships? You know, spouses, how is your marriage when you don't live by the golden rule? Parents, how are your children's relationships when they don't live by the golden rule? You ever worked at a job where the coworkers weren't living by this? In all of those situations, it's miserable. It always takes one side of coming to and acting right and living by this. Let that be you this week. You know, it's no secret that there's always going to be some tension between the people of God and the people of the world. Disciples are supposed to ease that tension, not contribute to the ungodly behavior. You know, the brother who asked the question of how should we treat the world, he seemed to be asking this because he's seen or he's heard of a lot of Christians not living by the golden rule. He was like, Cody, I feel like we shouldn't be mean to the world. We shouldn't be rude. We should love the world. And I said, you know what? You are spot on. And Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 is one of the reasons why that's true. And sure, we're going to come across some mean and nasty people in the world. Now, sure, we're going to come into some situations where it's going to be really hard to know how exactly to process this. And sometimes we're going to need to correct some people because they're going to be saying things that need correcting. They're going to be living lives that are wrong. They're contrary to God's word. But this is where we need to start with those interactions. There is always a way to live by the golden rule. And so there could be someone here today who is not following after Jesus, someone who hasn't decided to live by the Bible and do the things that Jesus asks of his people, you should start doing that today. It is a better way of life. Living with Jesus is better than living without him. And we don't say that in a bragging way. We say that in a "we care about you" kind of way. You know, following Jesus is a better way to live your life. And sure, there are going to be some things that you have to give up. And we can talk about those things. We can help you do a little compare and contrast and see how all of the things that you gain with relationship with Christ, it far, far outweighs whatever it is that you might have to give up. You know, just think about the golden rule that we talked about today. You know, applying this to your life, it will change your life. When you treat others the way that you want to be treated, you give yourself a chance to have a healthy relationship with anyone that you interact with. That's valuable, and that comes with living like Christ. You know, that's how powerful Jesus' message is, and that's how valuable following after him really can be for you. And so maybe you just have questions, right? Maybe you don't know where exactly you stand right now. We would love for you to come down front, and we can talk about that. We can talk about that now. We can set up a time to talk about it in the future. Whatever you need in order to get your life right with Jesus today, we want to be a part of that. You know, maybe you're past all that. Maybe you know that you need to be baptized. You've seen that living without Jesus. You've seen where that life takes you, and you know that now is time to commit. So we can do that for you as well. Whatever needs you have, please make them known as we sing the invitation song.
Time that reaches to heaven.